talking about the impact of your words. You ever think about the kind of impact that your words have on your circumstances, on your life, on your situation? And God wants us to take an inventory of our words. And in order to become kingdom-minded, you got to think and speak like a king, right? If a king wants to have a party, what is a king going to do? Is he going to put on his old clothes and get things ready? Is that what a king would do? No, a king would say, I want to have a party, and this is what I want. Make it happen, right? So things get done in a kingdom by what the king says. Did you know, say, I'm a king and a priest in God's kingdom. Yeah, you're a royal priesthood. That's a king and a priest, isn't it? So I wrote down some things about words. Words are germinated seeds that have been planted in your hearts. They will produce a harvest, either good or bad. All right, words are containers like boxcars on a train. They either transport you to defeat or to victory, your words. And your words can either be full of faith or full of fear. It's your choice. And words will cause you to agree with God or the devil. And you don't want to agree with the devil. Words can either create or harm. And go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's look at verse 31. David was asking about what's going to happen to the man who defeats Goliath. And notice this verse here, verse 31. It said, and when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. So something about the words that David said were heard. And because of his words, he was brought before the king. Okay? And not going to go into great detail, but this is where he faced Goliath. And before he ever defeated Goliath with his sling, he defeated him with his words. He recognized that he was in a spiritual battle, right? And he understood that he was fighting for God's cause. Other people thought it was for Israel's cause, but David thought it was for God's cause. And he brought God into the scene. So, and we know how Goliath taunted and tempted Israel for 40 days. And David said, let no man's heart fail because of this Philistine. He said, your servant will go out and fight him. Does that sound like he was doubting? Or he was unsure? See, his words revealed his attitude of his heart. And then I asked the question, how do you address opposition? You have to speak words of victory. You have to get on God's side by exalting him and his cause. And you have to be bold at what God can do. Who did David say was going to defeat Goliath? He said, you come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come at you with the name of the Lord. David knew full well what kind of battle he was fighting, and he had to win the war of words. Now, your most powerful weapon that you possess right now is your mouth. That is your most powerful weapon. All right? And I want to show you something. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. This was after David had defeated Goliath, and he was now working for Saul, and Saul would send him on missions. And 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. The Bible says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. Saul set him over the men of war." So he was Saul's general. "He was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Now I want you to notice this next couple verses here. Verse 8. "Saul was very wroth or angry, and the saying displeased him. David killed his 10,000s, Saul killed his thousands." I want you to notice that pride had developed in Saul's heart. And the words that he says next are going to be very important. Okay? Now notice, "And he said," everybody say, "he said." What did Saul say? "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands, and what can he have more but the kingdom?" See, the impact of your words will either cause you to be on God's side or on the devil's side. And because Saul had an attitude of pride, he was whining, he was complaining, and he spoke in that attitude. Now, when you speak words with a bad attitude, the devil is listening. He's waiting for permission to come in and to steal, kill, and destroy, and it's based on your words. Now notice. So Saul was expressing his feelings, his emotions. He didn't like David receiving more glory than him. Okay? Verse 9. "And Saul eyed David from that day forward." That means he looked at David with suspicion. "And it came to pass on the morrow," or everybody say the next day, "that an evil spirit from God came upon Saul." How did the evil spirit get permission to come on him? Because he spoke words of pride, of whining, complaining. And the evil spirit was listening to the words. What kind of impact does your words have? They have a great impact. Your words are significant. Your words are powerful. Your words are simply containers. And you can either put faith in those containers, or you can put fear in those containers, or you can put disdain in those containers. You can put anything in the containers. And what you put in the containers will determine the results that you get. Isn't it interesting how Saul was king, wasn't he? He had authority to speak. And whatever the king said, that's what happened. All right? God gave him that authority. God gave everyone that authority. And it is interesting that the next day, an evil spirit from God. Now, that's not correct. The evil spirit didn't come from God. All right? He's not the author of confusion. All right? What happened was, God allowed the evil spirit to come on because of the words that Saul said. Okay? And he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, what did he do? He said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Because of the words that were spoken in an attitude of pride and arrogance, an evil spirit the next day came on him, took control over him, and caused him to do and say things that were ungodly. What kind of impact do your words have? Verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Does fear, do we have a spirit of fear as believers in Christ? No, you do not have a spirit of fear. You have one of power, love, and sound mind. But see, the Lord had departed from Saul. So he was a man without wisdom. He was a man without the anointing. And he was speaking words in that condition. And the words that he spoke resulted in a demon spirit coming on him. The impact of your words is powerful. Okay? His words, Saul's words, were full of jealousy and spite, and an evil spirit was attracted to him because of what he said. All right? Go with me to Daniel chapter 4. Book of Daniel, chapter 4. Now, Daniel was interpreting a dream for King Nebuchadnezzar. And we know that King Nebuchadnezzar had a little exalted attitude about himself, right? He made a golden statue of himself, and he wanted everybody to worship it when he played music. So Daniel was interpreting the dream, and let's go down to verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that you shall have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto you, and break off your sins by righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it be a lengthening of your tranquility. Verse 28, all this came upon Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke, everybody say he spoke, and said, okay, let's look at what he said. Is it not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Who's he talking about? He's exalting himself. Pride comes before a fall, doesn't it? Verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from you. It was all based on what he said. He could have corrected what he said. You can never change a word after it's spoken. You can only change a word before it's spoken. So you got to be careful about the use of your words. Okay? Verse 32. They shall drive thee from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall have you eat grass as oxen, 7 times shall pass over you until you know. See, Daniel told him this before it happened. But yet he didn't deal with the issue of his heart. Okay? Verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men. He did eat grass and oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. Say, my understanding returned unto me. See, it's better to speak words from a place of understanding than not understanding. All right? And I blessed the Most High. He now, instead of exalting himself, he was praising God. And I praised and honored him that lives forever. I guess he had an epiphany when he began to look like an ox and started eating grass. This isn't right. I better change my words. Whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? And so his reason returned to him, verse 36. And his counselors and lords sought him. And he was established in his kingdom, and excellence and majesty was added unto. Amazing how your situation changed just by simply changing your words. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. He had a really good lesson, didn't he? Do your words have an impact? Does what you say matter? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right? Now let's look at some good examples. Those are things of what not to do. All right? Let's look at some things of what to do. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I touched on this a little bit last week. And let's go down to verse 21. Then Jesus went there and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then, everybody say then. She came and worshipped him, saying, what? Lord, Master, Adonai, ruler. She begins to worship him. And then she said, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, Lord, all I need is a crumb. Okay? And what did Jesus say? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, woman, what kind of faith did she have? Great. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. See, so she just made a slight adjustment in her words. When she got into worship and worshiping him as Lord and exalting him, then he was more apt to do what she wanted done. And here, she might have not started off in faith, but when she got her miracle, she was in great faith. Great faith. All right, and it was just a slight adjustment. You know, her attitude of refusing to give up showed up. She refused to quit. She refused to give in. All right? And she hung in there. And it was according to her faith. Her faith was expressed in her words and her actions. You know, yes, even the dogs get the crumbs. She knew in her heart that she wasn't right with God. But she knew that Jesus was the answer. And maybe when you come to the Lord with a need and you don't hear nothing, maybe you should start worshiping a little bit. Change your words a little bit. Get the focus off of yourself and your problem and get it on the Lord Jesus Christ, the answer. When you start exalting the answer, the problems are going to take care of themselves, right? But it was because of her words, the impact of her words. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, the words that Jesus spoke always had meaning, were always in power, and they always caused things to happen. 1 Timothy. Chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast or hold firm to sound words. All right? We need to develop a pattern of sound words. If you're speaking negative words 28 days of the month and positive words 2 or 3 days of the month, what do you think is going to happen in your life? You're not following the pattern of sound words. And when the Lord was showing me this, I was taking a close look at myself. And I was thinking, you know what? I better watch my words. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 4, it says, guard your heart. Why? For out of it flow the issues of life. You know, your heart and your mouth are attached together. In other words, they work together. All right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. The way that we can change our situation in life is by simply changing our words. Let's go down to verse 31. Jesus is talking here, and he says, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathers not with me scatters abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, he's talking to the Pharisees. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Say, out of the abundance of the heart. The only way to change what we say is to change what we put in our hearts, right? Because your mouth will reveal what's in your heart. If you are believing God for healing and you're really not quite there in your heart, it's going to come out in your speech. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, you got to make the tree good and the fruit will be good. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. Say good things. Notice, I want you to notice how many times it says good. Good man, good treasure of the heart, good things. Now, then he compares it. Evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Where do we get evil things? Human nature, the world, right? The world system. Where did the Israelites get the idea that they were like grasshoppers in the sight of the giants when they were in the land? That was called an evil report, right? They were simply looking at what they saw, their circumstance, all right? They were seeing these cities, these giants, and they were intimidated by what they saw. So we got to make a choice. Are we going to get in agreement with God, or are we going to be in agreement with the world? If we're constantly letting the world have an influence on us, then the world is going to come out of us. Whatever influences you the most is going to come out of you, because you're like a sponge, right? If you take a sponge and put it next to Kool-Aid, you know, the hard, brittle sponge, you put it next to Kool-Aid, what's going to come out when you squeeze it? Kool-Aid. If you put it next to water, what's going to come out when you squeeze it? Water. If you put it next to milk, what's going to come out when you squeeze it? Milk. The primary thing that influences you will come out in your words. Everybody say, oh. A good man. What's a good man going to be focused on? Good things. Who is good but God? Amen? So a good man is going to spend time with good treasure. The Word of God is good treasure. He's going to get into the book. He's going to put the book in him. He's going to meditate. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done. When you are in agreement with what God said and you've been putting what God said in your heart, then what God said is going to come out. Then you're going to get God results. But if we've been spending time putting the world in, then when we're in the situation and the pressure's turned up, then the world is going to come out. And it's just a matter of focus. It's just a matter of what you're causing you to be influenced. Verse 36. But I say to you that every idle word, everybody say every idle word. that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Who said that? Jesus. I didn't say it. What's an idle word? That's an idle word that doesn't go anywhere. It's kind of like killing time. You ever do something to kill time? You ever find out that time doesn't die? What are you doing? I'm just killing time. Yeah, but time doesn't die. There's no such thing as wasting time, and there's no such thing as wasting words. We're going to have to give an account. I don't remember any idle word that I spoke a week ago. But yet, the Bible says that we're going to have to give an account. So the best way to keep an account is to speak the word. He told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. So the key to giving a good account of your words is to let the book of the law get in your heart so that it'll come out of your mouth. You've got to get in such agreement with God and His Word that you and the Word are one. And then you're going to have good success. Verse 37. For by whose words? Yours are you justified, and by your words shall be condemned. Notice, not someone else's words, but your words. Your words will either justify you or condemn you. Do you realize when the Israelites were spying out the land of Canaan that they said it would be better for us if God would just kill us? Guess what happened? God killed them based on what they said. If you read that account in Numbers 14, it was based on what they said. They got exactly what they said. When they were complaining about, they were murmuring and complaining about the things of God, and that's when He sent fiery serpents. They were complaining about the water. Yet God sent fiery serpents that their venom caused them to get fever. They were thirsty. So they were complaining about the water, and their complaints produced results equal with what their words were saying. Does that make sense? Now, good news is, I'm not here to condemn you. I don't want you to feel condemned. I'm just pointing out the fact, it doesn't take a huge, major adjustment to change your words. It's like going to Walmart and buying spaghetti sauce. They must have about 10 types of spaghetti sauce. You can pick whatever type that you want. You have a selection. You have a choice. We have the same thing with words. Let me see. What words shall I use today? Kind words or mean words? Faith words or filled words? What kind of mood am I in today? Pick your words. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, James says. Because our words have such an impact. You know, James in chapter 3, he said, if you can control the tongue, you can control the whole body. That's powerful. A ship. You know, a cruise ship. We like to take a cruise, you know. Everything's there. They got, what, 4 decks? I don't know. I've never been on a cruise, but I'd like to take one sometime. In comparison to the size of the ship, the thing that steers the ship is very small in comparison, right? But yet, that little thing called the rudder makes that ship go where it wants to go. And God has built within us a very own rudder. It's called our tongue. Your tongue will guide you into poverty or prosperity. It'll guide you into victory or defeat. Did David have the victory over Goliath based on what he said? Yes. Was Goliath defeated based on what he said? Yes, because he was speaking against God. He was trying to demoralize the people. He was trying to bring reproach upon Israel. He was defeated, and David won the war of words because he spoke what God said. Joshua and Caleb, they got into the promised land because they spoke what God said. Moses led the people out of Egypt because he spoke what God said. Daniel had victory in the lion's den because he spoke what God said. He prayed when man said you shouldn't pray. He did what God wanted him to do. His words made the difference. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were delivered from the fiery furnace because of what they said. Our King, our God shall deliver us. Our God will deliver us. The woman with the issue of blood was healed of her hemorrhaging affliction for 12 years because she said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And she did, and it happened, just like she said. If Bartimaeus didn't cry out when he heard Jesus passing by, he still would have been blind. But based on what he said, he got a miracle. So I want you to be encouraged. Go with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. You know what? We've been saying that VCF is a growing, thriving, and flourishing body of believers. We've been saying it for a long time, right? Well, this past Sunday, we broke the 60 people mark. Amen. Now, you may not think that your words have an impact, but we've been saying that as a corporate body. And yes, sometimes it takes some time for your words to have an impact. Just because you say today, you may not have it tomorrow, but that doesn't mean you should stop saying it. Keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it until you have it, until it's a reality, until it's manifested, because your words have such power. We broke the 60-person mark. We are thriving and flourishing. I don't even know where the people came from. God brought them in. All we've been doing is saying the confession, because confessing works. John chapter 17, let's go to verse 6. Jesus is talking here, he's actually praying. He said, I have manifested your name unto the men which you have given me out of the world. He made known his name. Yours they were, and you gave them me, and they have kept your word. Verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of you. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me. What did Jesus give us? He gave us the words of the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He could say, if you've heard me, you've heard the Father, because he was a perfect representation of the Father. So he's given us the words which God gave to him. And they have received them. Have you received them? Receiving them means getting them into your heart. And then he says, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you did send me. So not only did they receive the words, but they believed them. receiving and believing, they made the connection with the words. And you know what they started doing? They started saying what he told them. And they were seeing the same miracles that he did when they said what he told them. When their words agreed with his words, they had the same power, the same results, the same miracles. You remember the 70? When he sent them out? Master, Master, even the devils are subject to us. See, when your words are his words, you're simply just saying his words, and his words are coming out of your mouth, but you're saying them, you're going to have the same results. So the impact of your words. If you have a vision of where you want to be, what you want to have, and what you want to do, start saying it. Start saying it more than once. I don't know how many times Abraham said, "I am Abraham." His name was changed. But he began to call himself what God gave him. And I know that it was 25 years went by from the time God promised him of having a son till the son came. So for 25 years, he was saying, once his name was changed, "I am Abraham. I am Abraham. I am Abraham." All of a sudden, Abraham became a reality in Isaac. 25 years of saying. But you know what? Too many people give up too easily. "Well, I said it 5 times and it didn't happen." Really? Did God say you should only say it 5 times? Why do we limit ourselves? Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. And it will happen. As long as what you're saying is what God said. Because he's given you the impact of your words. Start speaking over your kids. Start speaking over your future. Listen. Jesus, I said this before and I'm closing. He spoke to a storm. What did he say to a storm? Did the storm obey? Yeah, it did exactly what he said. He told a fig tree to, "No man's going to eat of you ever." What happened to the fig tree? The fig tree said, "Okay, I'll see you later. I'm checking out." All right? He spoke to a man who had been dead for 4 days named Lazarus. Why do you think he said, Come forth, Lazarus? If he had just said, "Come forth," I don't know who would have came out of that tomb. And you know, Peter said something interesting. When he was in the boat, along with the other disciples, you know, it wasn't just Peter in the boat. It was the other disciples. They saw Jesus walking on the water. Now, Peter was one to always speak and act without thinking. So he said, "You know what? If it's you, Jesus," he said, if that's you, Lord, "bid me come out with you on the water." And what did Jesus say? Did he say, "Come, Peter"? He didn't say, "Come, Peter," but he said, "Come." That invitation was not specific to Peter, but it was specific to everybody in the boat. But only one person believed what he said. Only one person in the boat believed. If he said, "Come to me on the water," if he said, "Come," that means I can get on the water. What did Peter do? He got out on the boat and he walked on water, didn't he? Even though John could have walked on water, Andrew could have walked on water, James could have walked on water. John could have, but it was Peter. Because Peter was the only one who believed what he said. So our words are pretty powerful. I mean, you can read the Bible and you can see where it talks about our speech, our communication, our words. Let the words of my mouth, Psalm 19:14. We used to say this at the end of our chapel at Lee every week. I said it so much that I remember it. I memorize it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We said that every chapel to finish out chapel. The whole student body said it. And I still remember it today. That was, let's see, I graduated in 96. It's too late to do math right now. 14, yeah, amen. But you know what? In order to change your words, you have to have information. I'm giving you information about people that spoke words and they literally changed their circumstance. Is there something that you want that you don't have? Start calling those things that be not as though they are. If you need healing in your body, don't speak about sickness. Doesn't mean, like, it's not to deny the existence. Like, if you say, okay, this is my problem, but I want to get it corrected. Once you say what the problem is, okay, that's a problem, but now start saying what needs to be said to correct it. All right? Don't keep going back and forth. Father, I just give you thanks and praise that you sanctify our mouths so that our mouth and our heart are in complete compliance and agreement with your word. Father, we are your mouthpiece on the earth. You've made us in your image and in your likeness. And you've given us power in our words. So, Father, from this day forth, we will be careful about what we say. We'll consider a matter before we speak about it. And Lord, I thank you that you will transform us. You'll give us understanding and help by the Holy Spirit. And we'll be able to change so that we can be better instruments for your use. In Jesus' name, amen.